To SER acknowledges the custodians of the Gadigal and Darug lands from which we broadcast.
Alrighty, so that last song there was Lullaby by Lydia Fairhall. Now, it's 49 minutes past 9 o'clock and we're going to have another stab at getting these technical issues sorted so that we can have a chat to Professor Ken Purnell, Professor of Education at Central Queensland University, where he's worked for over 25 years. Ken's long been associated with the Curriculum and Assessment Authority for Queensland K-12. And in the wake of the teacher shortage in Australia at the moment, Professor Ken suggests that we perhaps consider a blended learning model. Ken, thank you so much for joining us.
Great to be with you, Jesse.
Fantastic. So for those unaware, what is the teacher shortage happening at the moment?
Well, we've got large shortages, of course, in New South Wales, particularly in regional areas. And the prediction by the federal government is that we'll be at least 50,000 teachers short in the next 2 years. So it's not far away. We're already experiencing it where we can't staff classes and so on. And that's kind of bad, particularly on the back of the pandemic lockdowns, where a number of students are sort of behind in their learning. Mm. So how are we going to catch up? And we don't have the people, the staff, the number of the classes.
Absolutely. So what is a blended learning model and how would it work?
Good. What you've got there, Jesse, is the concept that students have shown capability for many years that they can do things at a distance remotely. What I mean by remotely is that the teacher isn't in the room with them, for example, like we're doing now. And they may be supported by others, not necessarily parents, but indeed other experts. For example, with our university, we have 26 teaching sites around Australia, and I do stuff in Rockhampton, and there's a support person in Geraldton in Western Australia who not only looks after the education stuff that I do, but accounting and various other things. So they develop their expertise and can assist locally for the students who want it and for those who don't, fine. So we're looking at a situation of around about, in my view, 3/4 face-to-face, and then about in the order of a quarter of the content, 25% of the content and skills, perhaps remotely. Now, that really depends upon the needs of the students. They've got to be central to this, and the teachers in their schools. So we've already got plenty of examples. Distance education commenced in Queensland 100 years ago this year. So we've had a lot of experience.
Wow.
There's tens of thousands of students doing it today and doing it very successfully from early childhood right the way through to year 12. Mm. And I forget the one at Rockhampton, he's got about 5,000 students in it, for example, early childhood through year 12, whatever it is. So that's kind of interesting. We've been able to do that successfully. Now, look, with COVID, there were some horror stories about, you know, teachers were sort of thrown in the deep, didn't have the expertise to do some of the things that were called upon. They found themselves with a double workload in addition to the growing workload that they've experienced for some time. So teaching, unfortunately, has become unattractive too. So how do we attract and keep?
Absolutely.
And to give you an idea there, I'm suggesting that in pre-service education, we look at doing things differently. For example, just let's say that you you want to become a teacher. Well, you know, you've already got a couple of degrees or whatever. That'll take you at least 2 years. Well, how about we bring that back to, say, 1 year that we used to have not long ago and get people out there? But if I give you the typical example, people do a four-year education degree, right, from scratch. Mm. And people like yourself might be doing a two-year version these days. Well, we find that it's almost 90%, it's a huge number of our secondary students already are teaching in schools as trainee teachers with us. They're pre-service teachers studying with us, and they're 100% in the schools. They shouldn't be, but they are, because schools are so short-staffed. And so we have vast numbers of our students doing that pre-service. Now, it's not only us, it's all the other universities who provide pre-service teacher education. So my view was, let's rethink that. And I've talked to some of my senior colleagues and said, well, you know what? We could actually do something like this. What's the big problem for a lot of people transitioning to teaching from other jobs or out of sort of non-workforce into workforce? There's 7 million people who are eligible to work in Australia, for example, who aren't in the workforce.
Okay.
That's a pretty big pool.
Yeah, absolutely.
33% almost of the age that's eligible. So, yeah, you go, well, could we do it so that it's at their own pace, because I do a lot of that stuff right now, at their own pace, 365 days a year, and ensure the quality. Well, we can, and we've got a lot of experience over decades now with that, particularly the last decade, but it works well. Now, obviously, we're talking about university students there from my perspective, but we also have the same thing with the students. I've worked with the people who look after the almost a million students in this state for many a year, since 92 or whatever. So my view is people do 4 years and then only teach for 3 to 5. The bulk of them leave within 5 years. It's almost 50% of commencing teachers are gone within 5 years. Now, why would you want to do a four-year degree and then, you know, not be there for 3 years or what? That's a pretty expensive. And you're not earning income. So my view is this. Let's have 2 years of it at their own pace. Yes, get them out in schools early to decide that they like teaching, they like kids and all that sort of stuff. There's nothing untoward there because it's very different if you actually go on the other side of the desk, for want of a better description. But yeah. So 2 years like that, and they could take 6 months, do it very quickly to do those 2 years,
okay,
or 6 years. So that's... my view is self-paced, knock off your 2 years, and then when you've completed that, you wander along with your piece of paper to the university or whatever and say, I'm going to do the last 2 years. I need a school placement. And my view with that school placement is this. They do half university studies, half teaching, so 50% of a normal teacher's load. That'll suddenly get your skilled hands there. And then what can happen is they get paid for that. So they've been working away for getting their piece of paper for the equivalent of 2 years.
Yeah.
Then they come out and they go, well, I'm going to get half pay for the next 2 years. I'm happy. Mm. I'm not going to lose food off the plate. I'm also going to find that I can meet other things, like I really didn't want to give up that rather well-paying mining job or whatever we have in central Queensland.
Yeah.
But one example. And I do have a few mining people who've done it with me.
Yeah. Well, okay. So just as a final wrap-up question here, because we're running out of time a little bit, but how would this likely see a change to the 9-to-3 school day?
Absolutely. So that schools would be able to rethink what they do. I've already advocated from a neuroscientific perspective that for sleep, high school students should be starting around about half an hour to an hour later. That gets in with their circadian rhythms, et cetera. So that's important. Use the sleep science to get that right. But I suspect if you've got a quarter less actual face-to-face teaching, you're freeing up resources. Mm. And so instead of politicians and others saying, well, I've built a new school, they could say, I saved $20 million by not having to do that. So, yeah, use of resources, because when you look at it, Jesse, the schools, you know, they sort of get used 25 hours a week for 40 weeks a year, just roughly.
Yeah.
There's an awful lot of capacity there, and especially if you had a split time sheet, but leave it to the schools.
Yeah.
The schools and the teachers, for the kids, the students, as the central focus, let them decide on the models. And I've seen plenty of models that are working right now, as I said, that have been going for 100 years, be it different today than what it was 100 years ago, and very successful.
Fantastic. Yep. So what I'm hearing is we need a solution that is more tailored to incoming teachers, students, and schools. And that seems to be working or an idea that would work for all three of those. Fantastic. Well,
Absolutely.
Thank you so much for joining us, Ken. That was Professor Ken Purnell from Central Queensland University talking to us about blended learning model as a potential solution for the teacher shortage in Australia. If you want to check out more, at the end of the show, this will be on the 2SER website, 2SER.com. Ken, if they want to find you online, where should they go to?
Probably easiest to contact me at the university with my email, but if they just look up my name, they'll soon find that I'm the number one hit.
Fantastic. Well, thank you so much, Ken. Guys, up next we have Taking You for a Ride by Neighbor Lady.